May the Lord be with us as we continue on in the service this morning. I have turned to the second chapter of Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter. And want to look at three or four verses, beginning with the seventh verse of this second chapter. Ordinarily, a mother thinks that her son is probably better than most any other son in school. I hear many mothers and grandparents bragging about their children, and I seen a plate on the bumper one day says, "Don't ask me about my grandchildren." I guess what that meant was, if you wanted to listen for a while, just ask him about his grandchildren. But most of us think it's good to know somebody of great importance. I remember a few years back when Reagan came to Atlanta, my daddy and my brother and several people taking off from work to go up there just to stand on the street to see him pass by. Didn't even get to shake his hand. Just watched him ride down the road. When President Roosevelt died, they turned out our school. We were close to the railroad track so that we could see the train when it come by with his body on it. So our nature is to want to see and to know somebody of great importance. And if I was to begin to tell you about my brother this morning, you might, wonder about me. But the Bible tells us that Christ is our brother.
Yeah.
We that are born of the Spirit of God have a great brother whose name is above every name that's named on all of the face of the earth. So you can't wonder about me if I begin to talk about my brother, because I want to talk about the Lord and tell what great things he has in mind for us and what he's able to do for us. And I believe that Paul here was writing to brethren in Christ Jesus. I don't think he was writing to what is referred to as the alien sinner. I believe the lesson that is before us is primarily and important to the child of God. And so as we begin to read, I want to read just a few verses to get to the subject here. It says, I'll just begin with the 12th verse instead of reading these previous verses, because time is very short. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." See, Paul had been there at the Philippian church. And while he was there, they made an intense effort to do what Paul taught and wanted them to do in the service of the Lord. And for a minister of the gospel to be respected and honored, and people want to serve the Lord and pray for the teaching that they might better serve the Lord, as Paul says here, that they always obey. And as we begin to look at the lesson, obedience in the service of the Lord is correct. Paul says, as long as I follow the Lord, follow thou me. And so when we begin to think about it, A minister's responsibility is not only to preach the gospel, to set an example that others might follow. You know, my wife keeps a little old grand boy there at home some of the times when his mother has work to do or such. And he likes to follow me around. You know, I don't know why, but he just likes to seemingly follow me around. And I appreciate it. He'll help me do little things, not really able to do anything. He's just a little fellow. But he tries awful hard. And I'm persuaded that one of these days he'll be able to help me a lot, then he won't want to. But the thing about it is, I believe that there's many of us that want to serve the Lord till we get right down to it. Then we got other things to do. You know, he says, put not your candle under a bushel or under a bed, but let your light so shine. How can we let our light shine? By working out our salvation. That he has worked within us. You know what the saying is? I need to go and work my garden out. Why do we need to work our garden out? I mean, you know, it looks all right. My wife, she gets on me right frequently about working the garden out, but I told her I feel like Hank Parker. When you can fish, fish. And then the other times work, you know. And many times it's the same way in the service of God. If we don't have anything else to do, we can serve the Lord. So, work out your own salvation. Don't be concerned about the other fellow. About ourselves. You know, we are the ones that are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Many people today try to put that in the context of fearing that one might lose out in eternal happiness and glory. But Paul is talking here about people that are saved by the grace of God. And there's no chance. I believe in once saved, always saved. You know, I believe that if Christ has saved us from our sins, we're saved. But here, he says, work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. I believe that's a reverential fear of our Father who art in heaven, that I might not bring no reproach upon his great name, and that I might serve him every day of my life. And with trembling. Now, I've heard what Paul is telling us here. We are to do it because we love the Lord. We don't want to do anything that would degrade the name of the Lord or bring any reproach upon the brethren. I believe the Church of God saves his people to an extent because I know in my past life, I believe that I have taken positions because of my membership in the Church of God that has been a blessing. Because I did not want to get in any situation that would bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord. Now, we had a lady that was working for us one time, and I didn't realize that she couldn't drive. And I asked her to go down to the courthouse and get some information for me, and I told her it would probably take about a half a day. And she said, well, she'd be glad to go, but I would have to take her. I said, how is that? She says, well, I can't drive. I said, I can't take you. I said, we might have a wreck down there, and I don't want everybody reading in the paper about me hauling my secretary around. You know, innuendos and insinuations and things that don't add up could cause us a problem in our church. I said, I can't carry you, so I'll get somebody else to go for me. And, you know, in my mind, I was saying, I can't afford to get into any problem with the people in our church. It saved me from what could have been an embarrassing situation. But here, he says, with fear and trembling. Have you ever worked so hard at something that you wasn't used to that you just said, I'm trembling all over? You know what I mean? You expend a lot of energy and you just get real trembly. I think that's what he's talking about here, that we ought to put an effort to it to the extent that it just makes us tremble all over, you know, because we are working so hard to do what he would have us to do. All right, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds good. Now, how am I to do that? You know, it does us good to read the Bible, but how am I to understand some of these things that so is impacted with great words of wisdom? Paul says we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Why do we need to rightly divide the word of truth? That we as children of God can understand. You know, sometimes things are difficult to understand till the key is turned that opens it all up. You know what I mean? When the key is turned, he said, how could I have been so dense and so dark and so dumb? I mean, that is the simplest thing in the world that I have ever seen or heard of. You know, when I first began to mess with computers in our work, I bought a computer, and I worked and I worked and I worked on that thing, and I couldn't get it to work. Well, I run up on the teacher that down at McDonald's one day that teaches little children how to operate a computer. And I said to him, I said, I need to talk with you a little bit and maybe get you to come by the house and help me a little bit with a new computer that I bought. He asked me a few questions. He says, well, I work with little fellows, and it'd probably take me too long to get to do anything with that computer. You might need to get somebody else or get such and such a book. He says, but let me tell you something. Don't have an axe or a hammer in the same room with you when you're working on that computer. You know. But anyway, I got the book that he told me to, and I looked, and I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps, just like it said, and the thing worked. I said, how in the world could I have been so dumb? Well, I was just missing one step in it all, and did nothing work. So when we begin to think about it, how can I begin in the working out of my salvation with fear and trembling? That's what I want to do. I want to bear fruit to the honor and glory of God's name. So tell me how. Well, go ahead and tell me how. All right. He says here, for it is God which worketh in you, both to the will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working in us and giving to us the strength. Well, let's try it and see how it's going to work. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That seems like the beginning of it all. Why do we murmur? Murmuring is complaining. Disputing is questioning. Beginning to question everything that anybody brings up. We don't need to murmur or complain or grumble or question. May God give to the man that is to tell me how to serve the Lord the grace to tell me and not disturb me to where I can't understand what he's saying. All right? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Blameless and harmless. How might we be blameless and harmless? First of all, not being involved in things that we might be blamed with. You know, just avoid those things that are questionable. I mean, if our heart tells us that that's not right, avoid it. And harmless, what can harm us in the service of God? You know, one time I had an account, a liquor store account. Good account. The man paid good. The only thing about it, he had to pay three times when we renewed his insurance each year. I went there to deliver his renewal and went into his office and went over everything, and he gave me one third of it. When I walked out the door, there was a boy that I went to school with that I had not seen in a number of years. I didn't see him sitting in his car, but when I walked out the door, he says, "Elsie." And I looked, and I knew who it was. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "All right." He said, "What you doing in that liquor store?" And I couldn't tell him the man owed me money. You know, I wasn't supposed to put the man's business in the street. So I said, "Me and a fella in there had a little business." He says, "Oh, yeah, I know all about that. I have a little business here right frequently." I said to myself, you know, this, I can't go this. That's the last liquor store I've ever been in all my life. And that was like 35 years ago. He misread me. And we can be misread very easily. And that's what he's saying right here. When he says that we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Are we in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation?
Yeah.
I must say that we are.
Yeah.
Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. A pervert, crooked and pervert generation. Know ye not that ye are the light of the world? How am I to let my light shine? You know, tell me, how can I let my light shine? I want to let my light shine. Give me a few little tricks of the trade that I might let my light shine. Well, when we begin to look at the Apostle Paul's teachings, he says, run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, when we begin to think about running, you know, I forget how many thousands they were that run in the Peachtree Race in Atlanta each year, like I think 50,000. They cut it off at 50,000. There's 50,000 running in that race, and there's 10 times that many on the sides of the street looking at them. Now, the ones that are in the race, they are running. Now, there's a lot of them sitting on the side. Oh, I wish I was running too. You know, it is the imagination of their mind that they're out there running with them. But they're spectators. But he's telling us here that we're not spectators, but we are actually involved in the running of the race that is set before us. Now, the thing about it in running a race, I wouldn't set out on that 12-mile race right now because I have not conditioned myself. I might make a block, but not 12 miles. You know, it takes a little work to get in shape to run a race. And I'll tell you, it takes a little work to let our light shine in this world here. I mean, we must study the Word of God, and we must apply the Word of God to our life. We must forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. We must come together praying that God would feed our souls and we might be instructed in the ways of righteousness and we might know better how to serve a risen Savior. You know, He's our brother. And we want to serve Him. And not only that, we want to be proud of Him. And we want Him to be proud of us. You know, I think the greatest thing is to be like the Apostle Paul was. I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I'm now ready to be offered. And so we'll run with patience the race that is set before us. Now the thing about it is, when you're running, you can't be kicking. Because if you're kicking, you're going to fall down. And the thing about it in the serving of the Lord, we can't be picking at one another. We need to be concerned about one another and encouraging one another. You know, we see one that we know running the race with us and he begins to lag behind. We say, "Come on, it's not much further. You make it. Don't give up." And the thing about it, in the service of God, we don't want anybody giving up. We want to run this race together. Another thing, he says that we're in the army of the Lord. Now, what is an army expected to do? It's to fight a battle. And ordinarily, you would expect everyone in the army to have on a uniform. I mean, if he don't have on a uniform and is in ranks, you say, what's that fellow doing in there? He's in the wrong place. You know, he's a civilian. He's not in the army. But we are in the army of the Lord. And Paul says, put on, therefore, the uniform. Put on the uniform of the Lord. What is that? The helmet of salvation. And he goes on in Ephesians and describes unto us the uniform of a soldier. And we are to wear it with great respect and love. You know what? This last war that we had, they had some that refused to put on the uniform. You know what they call them? Deserters. Deserters. Cowards. They just did not respect our country enough to even fight. I think that we've got a lot today that don't love the Lord enough to enlist in His great service.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, when we enlist in the service of the Lord, He gives us something that nobody else will ever enjoy. When we are raised to walk in newness of baptism, He gives to us sight that we never had before. I mean, we can read the Bible before we are raised to walk in newness of life, and it's the greatest history book that has ever been written. Tells us about the greatest God that has ever been. Gives to us all that God was able to do and does with His people. But when we are raised to walk to newness in life, we see and feel the power of God in our soul, see things that we've never seen before. We have 20/20 vision, as the saying is, in spiritual things. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and He gives to us a measure of the Spirit when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost and raised, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Then we can put on the uniform of the Lord. And as Paul describes each one of them, each part of the uniform, they are very important in the service of the Lord. But probably the sword is one of the more important weapons of battle. It's not the uniform, but we are to have the sword in our hand. A sword is a weapon of defense and offense. We are to defend the truths of God. We are to defend against error and against bondage and against slavery. And how are we to do that? We must be able to use the sword. Now, people call me sometimes and they say, what are you doing? I've been sharpening on my sword. What do you mean? I'm studying the Word of the Lord. I'm sharpening my sword so that when given the opportunity or put in the place, I will be able to use it as a soldier of the Lord ought to be able to use it. He gives to us the most tremendous book of instructions that has ever been written for any soldier. And not only that, He gives to us the spirit and the ability to use it. Many people don't use it as they ought. I'll tell you one. of the best things that anybody could ever do, hoping all of you are doing it now. But for about 40 years, I have read 3 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 chapter in the New Testament, and go through the Bible every year. I've been doing that ever since about a year after I joined the church. I can't quote much scripture, but I can tell when it's misquoted. There's something in my heart that gives to me, I don't have the ability, as some do, to quote 10th chapter of John, the 10th verse. But when scripture is quoted, I can find it very quickly. When it's misused, I can remember the context of it. And it's important to be familiar with the Word of God. You know, I bought me an index Bible one time. I always wanted an index Bible. I kept that thing about 3 months, and I gave it away and went and bought me one without it. Getting lazy, not knowing how to find the books without looking at the tabs. I said, you know, I don't want to be lazy. Somebody tell me to look up Nehemiah. I don't want to look at a tab, but I want to be able to turn to it. Familiar with the Word of God. Familiarity with that which gives to us what we need in this unfriendly world here below. I believe that if we're familiar with God's Word, He gives to us what we need in whatever circumstance arises in our life.
Amen.
Now, if we don't read it, we're not familiar with it, what can we expect? You know, a lot of people depend a lot on luck. I don't believe in luck. I never have believed in luck. I believe that God makes things work together for good to those that love Him. Now, how might you know you love the Lord? You may know you pass from death unto life if you love the brethren. But how might you know you love the Lord? Because I want to serve Him. Because every morning when I get up, I want to talk to the Lord. I want to read His Word. You want to be optimistic? Read the Word of God before you go to work. Don't take but 15 to 20 minutes. You know, if you get up at 5 o'clock, get up at 4:30 and read the Word of God. You know, of course, I'm retired now, living the life of ease, I guess you might say. But I enjoyed working for, you know, like more than 50 years. I enjoyed it. A lot of people say, how can you enjoy work? Well, I read the Word of God. Then I went to work, and I felt like the Lord was going to be with me all day long, make no difference what I had to face. So what should I dread? Work as if we was doing it unto the Lord. You know, not working for the man that's paying me, but working for the Lord. Letting my light shine. Not stealing from my employer, but just working as if I'm working for the Lord. And life is tremendous.